You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's Two Guys, One Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris.
Hey now. Two Guys, One Podcast coming at you today. Today we are without, unfortunately, Brian the Hitman Harris, and it's just going to be me today, Ron the Al Alleman. How you doing, Ron the Al? Hey, I'm doing all right. We are without Hitman because, unfortunately, like a lot of people out there, he has contracted COVID-19 virus. So he's not feeling that great. We're going to send some love out to him today. And we're going to see how this thing goes. So what we've got lined up here, a couple of his really good friends, my really good friends too, are just going to call in. We're just going to talk about whatever's up, and we're just going to see how it goes. So thanks for joining us today, Two Guys, One Podcast. Hope that Brian's feeling better.
It's actually One Guy, One.
And as my five-year-old just said, it's actually One Guy, One Podcast. Great job, Eddie. Well, first caller here, we got DC Collins calling to say what's going on. What's going on, Frenchie?
What's up, my man? How are you?
Dude, I am doing great. I can't believe that so many of my friends at this moment actually have been diagnosed with COVID. So I'm happy that I'm healthy, you know, staying safe. How about you?
Yeah, fortunately, we've been able to avoid that as well. My daughter, which kept bringing this whole full circle, she's a freshman at Purdue, so she went through the whole semester. Purdue did a phenomenal job with it, and she got through no COVID. And then I have two other children. I have a sophomore daughter and a fifth grade son. Nobody's gotten COVID. She's kind of 50-50 school at Carmel High School, Indiana, and then my son, he goes full time, so they do everything every day at school, so that's been good for him.
That's crazy. I can't believe that they're going full time and no one's contracted. They must be doing an awesome job. In fact, hey, I remember when we were at Jigger's wedding, he was a newborn. You were carrying him around a little baby carrier, right?
We took him in a baby carrier to San Francisco and went to Jigger's wedding in a baby carrier. So we always tell him he's been to San Francisco. He obviously doesn't have any memory of it. But now, bringing a child into that wedding, maybe not the best parenting decision, but we had a great time.
It was a great wedding. You know what's crazy? I was going through some stuff yesterday looking for some tax crap, and I found Jigger's invitation to the wedding. It was such a cool invitation. I don't know if you remember it, but it was awesome. I was really surprised. I'm probably going to send him a photo of it.
Now, one of the memories that comes to mind with that wedding is Jigger riding up on a white horse. Unbelievable. And then, like, in the backdrop, there was, like, a, you know, like, LGBTQ community, like, day parade or something going down. There
yeah.
were people, like, practically, I mean, there were naked people in the backdrop of Jigger on a white horse, which I never thought I'd see in my lifetime, but it was a great time. Very good, great wedding.
It was awesome. Jigger had a huge Indian-style wedding. And, I didn't really realize what's cool about Indian weddings is that when the wedding is going on, there's supposed to be a party like happening around the wedding, so not like American weddings, you know. So remember, like, they were Jigger and Steph were in the center of the room, and then there was a full buffet, like I think two full buffets set up alongside, and people are sitting up, they're hanging out, they're drinking wine, they're eating food. Very, very cool, man. That was one of the coolest weddings I think I've been to.
Yeah, you know, it's somebody asked me about, or I saw a debate recently on the value of a college education, and like, is it the ROI on the money you spend on a college education, is it worth it?
Yeah.
And they run a lot of figures on, just on, you know, how much you make and your salary and things like that. But man, in my opinion, I mean, going to Purdue University and meeting those guys, and here's a kid, parents from West Virginia, complete redneck, Speedway, Indiana, which isn't exactly the cultural center of the world, and then end up, I'm in San Francisco at an Indian wedding with a bunch of great people. I mean, you can't put a dollar figure on what you get out of college, and it goes beyond the salary that you'll make in your lifetime.
No, 100% agree. I mean, I honestly, like, I went to Purdue. I met you there. Met a bunch of great guys there, a lot of great friends, but I'm not really using that degree. I mean, I went back to culinary school like 4 years after I graduated Purdue and doing something completely different. So the one thing that it did get me was a lifelong friends. And like you said, you really can't put a price tag on that.
No, and like just how much you grow as an individual, you know? I mean, how much you're exposed to different things, you know. You're, as a kid, you grow up in a family, the culture, the environment, that family is what it is.
Yeah.
You go to college, you're exposed to 85 different families and value systems and cultures within those families, and some of it, you know, ethnically different or societally different or culturally different, but you just grow and expand as a human being. I don't think you can put a price tag on that.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, going back to school, one of my favorite stories that I still tell to this day when we start talking about the old times is one that involves you. And I think you kind of know. I don't know if we should get into it, but, well, let me just tell you real quick. So we had a dance. It was right before I was getting initiated into our fraternity, and it was – I forget what you even called it. It was like the initiation or like the last – I think it was the – or was the new pledge class coming in? Whatever the fuck it was. But we had a dance. Everyone brought a date. Not a dance, a party. Everyone brought a date. And before I even got to – I don't even see my date that night. This guy, Dwayne, had me doing about 6 or 7 shots of something, whiskey or I don't know, what, the aftershock or some bullshit. But regardless, long story short, I woke up with gravel on my face in the driveway of the fraternity house.
Yeah, that's right.
Parking lot.
I had a bar in my room, and I got you cornered.
Yeah.
Back in that bar, because there was a one, you know, it was like a U shape, so you could go in, you could walk in only one side.
Yep.
And then I just kept pounding you with aftershock shots, just pounding you, pounding you, pounding you.
Yeah. So you were kind of bullying me, right?
Absolutely.
Well, they say when the kids that get bullied always end up stronger for it. So I don't know. We'll see.
I'm still going to grow up. You gotta worry about me when I quit talking to you, or when I quit messing. But you know, people that I like to be with and hang with, I like to have a good time.
Yeah.
So stuff happens.
Speaking of good times, man. So Dwayne and I have been doing a little bit of messing around with the stock market right now, and Dwayne and I kind of get into like the marijuana plays. And the one play, I'll tell you that I'm kind of proud of myself for this one. Happened yesterday because we saw some stocks were kind of falling, and he and I were in pretty good on a couple, so I think we both made a little bit of cash. But the one that I got in on, I was trying to tell my wife this morning, and she could care less about this story. But what's so cool is I'm looking at stocks. Okay, what can we buy now? Like, what's on discount? What stock is in the red today? I found this one, VFF. And I'm looking at it. It dropped like 10% right away because there was a direct offering for like a lower price, basically. So I told Dwayne about it. Dwayne buys it. I'm thinking I'm going to wait because it might not be done dropping. Thing drops even more. I buy it. Now we're both in. And then late night last night, I see the company that actually manages my IRA. They went in heavy on this stock. So a year ago, I couldn't have done this shit. And thanks to you, Dwayne, I mean, getting some of your good advice, I'm actually doing a lot better than I thought I could do. So that was one play. I'm really proud of myself.
You should be, man. I mean, I'm a pandemic trader. I mean, I think we both are pandemic traders.
Yeah.
I started doing this. I like to put a little money on sports. When the March hit, basketball season, which I love to bet college basketball, is my favorite.
Yeah.
And it went down, and so I started messing around the stock market. I love the little juice here and there, you know.
Yep.
So we got in it and just started learning. Buying on dips, selling on strength, I mean, is like when you can learn that lesson and when you can understand that the stock market is not about like lines on a chart, it's more about the psychology of people and about when to buy, when to sell. Because, you know, selling sometimes can be the most difficult aspect of it, which I would never have imagined that.
Right.
When I got involved in this.
Right.
But no, man, it's been fun. I've learned a ton. I've learned from you as well. And I think it's fun. I enjoy doing it, and I think we're getting halfway through that.
Yeah, I think the longer you hold a stock, like you become emotionally attached to it and you expect it to do something. And like yesterday, I forget which, it was ACB, and I woke up, it was like 4 a.m. You know, I check my stock super early, right? So, and I know that you do too. But I'm looking at this thing and I'm like, this is going to have a day. Like this thing's already moving. And at one point I was up 31%, and anyone would be happy to sell. You're 31% profit. If you put in $100, now you're up 130 for doing nothing, you know. I didn't sell because it was hard, and I'm thinking, oh, I really want this to go to like, you know, 1450. Yeah, and I didn't. So I sold when I started dropping quickly. I still made some money. I think I ended up making like just under 20% on that one. But yeah, you are 100% right. It's real. It's easy to buy, and it's hard to sell these things sometimes.
Now, the psychology behind selling is very, very difficult. And that's why you really have to have, one thing I've learned, you have to have a system of rules. You have to have a process, and you have to be disciplined to it. So, and it can be different. There's a million different ways to trade. I mean, there's day traders, there's swing traders, there's long-term traders. I mean, there's a thousand, even within those different ways of trading, there's different, you know, aspects to it.
Yeah.
So, figuring out what works for you, what fits into your psychology. I mean, you know, how big of a position size you have, and just having a very set system of rules that you follow. And if you just become a robot, remove emotion from the equation, and just process that. And the compounding, that's where it's actually at, you know, slow and steady. That's where you're going to make money in the long term.
Yeah, trade your plan. That's what you always tell me. Trade your plan. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes I'll have sell orders to hit, you know, for these things to hit, and I'm watching it go so hard. I'm like, oh, there's no way I'm going to sell at this point. It's going to blow past that. So I'll cancel the order. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, I should just trust my first instinct, you know. But no, you're right. It's a lot of fun though, too, man. And the thing is, I think neither of us are in it to get hurt. You know, I could lose everything I have in it to, you know, tomorrow, and I'm going to be okay. It is fun. It's kind of cool. And to actually start making money with money is really exciting. So that's where we are. That's what we're doing. So, hey, man, thanks for coming on here. We know that we're really on because, you know, our boy Harris is not feeling that great. So anything you want to throw at him before we let you go?
You know what? I hope he gets better soon. I mean, I hate this COVID thing. It's been a nightmare. So I hope he feels better quick. Tell him a lot of orange juice, some chicken noodle soup, and blast the air supply.
Air supply. I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. Love that shit.
His go-to move, man. He's got some of the weakest game I've ever seen in my
life. Oh, yeah.
He would throw on air supply late at night, and it's just, that's weak, man. That's not a strong game.
Super, super weak, but that's why we love Brian, the hitman, Harris. All right, man. Thanks a lot, DC. Good talking to you, buddy. Switching over now, we got another caller, and we got Ryan Bowers calling in to say hi. And Ryan, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's happening, Hedge? How you doing, buddy?
Dude, you know me. I'm doing okay. Hey, first of all, sorry to hear. I heard that you are. Well, you just told me this. You're quarantining right now, right?
Yeah, I got exposed the other day, and I got to take my test at 9 a.m. on Monday morning and go from there. Don't feel bad. No symptoms yet. So knock on wood. Let's hope it stays that way.
Dude, this is crazy. I'll tell you what, since this has been going on, for some reason, at this moment right now, I have more people I know that are either like exposed or have tested positive. I think I've got like 5 people. You are the number 5. You just told me about it. So this is crazy, man. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're not feeling too bad.
No, feeling all right. Couple of the people that you and I both know, Chris and I, we've talked, keeping each other company, talked a couple times yesterday for a while, and hanging in there together, you know.
Yeah, so our mutual friend, so Milo Johnson, he tested positive, I believe, yesterday, and he's felt pretty bad, which seems to be like, I think half the people I've known either have no symptoms or very, very mild, and the other half are really going through some shit. So I hope that you have a very, very mild, if you are indeed positive, man.
Yeah, I hope so too. You know, I went and took an antibody test the other day, and I tested negative for antibodies, and they said that goes back at least 8 months. So, so far, it doesn't seem like I've had it, but the whole family has been ravaged by it. And, yeah, it's just crazy times, man.
Good, man. So, I mean, just to back up a little bit, you and I met probably back in, like, 1993-ish, 94, something like that. Yeah, we met at Purdue. Fraternity Brothers. Haven't seen you a lot though lately since I guess in the past 25 years though, right? Seen you a few times here and there, but what's been going on, man?
Man, was in the booze industry for quite a while, and obviously that's been a challenge with COVID, and kind of hanging out, seeing what the next steps are, you know, contemplating possibly California again or wherever, you know.
Yeah.
Hanging out in Indianapolis, and doing all the things, man. Trying to figure out what 2020 was all about and taking next steps in 2021, man.
Yeah, I hear you. Same over here. So you were out there. You were in California not too long ago for your birthday, right?
Yep. Definitely was. Was out here for a little while. Was going to head back, and then, like I said, Indiana became a hot spot, and especially within my family and circle of friends. So stayed out a little longer than expected. But hanging out, really.
That's cool, man. I mean, kind of like you, I was in the restaurant business for quite a long time. I still am. But for me, 2020 was just like a pause button. Seriously. You know, I think for a lot of people. And, I had a restaurant that was doing quite well at the end of 2019. And then we were looking to open a second spot over here, like actually in the area, the town where I live. And this is crazy because I was one meeting away, one handshake away from signing a 7-year lease on a spot that was about $6,500 a month. It was going to cost about $500,000 to build this kitchen. And I was happy to do it because the numbers were looking great. And, so Friday was our meeting. We canceled the meeting because our town went on lockdown. And then Monday, it was full on, okay, now we're in COVID territory. No one knew what's going on. And here we are pretty much almost a solid year later. And I'm back in the hunt now for a place. I might have found a place, but it's crazy. Yeah, like 2020 was just a fucking big old pause button for me.
Man, that's crazy you brought that up. When Chris and I were talking last night, he actually brought that up to me and told me the whole story. And I'm like, man, unfortunate, I don't know which word to use on that one, bro.
I definitely consider myself fortunate for not going in there, because who knows what would have happened. You know, it's a moot point now, but I mean, I'm much better where I am. I feel better. I feel like we're a little bit more grounded now. Because, you know, when you're going through that pandemic, you have no idea. Like, we can look back now and say, okay, well, you know, we could have made these moves and that, but going through it, everyone was just scared, you know, and we didn't know, we have any clue. So things are I think they're looking up over here at least.
Well, I wish we could get it to where you guys, anybody in the restaurant industry, bar industry, whatever, music, just think about all the music venues, man. I have so many friends in the music industry and just getting destroyed right now. We need to find some way to get everybody some help, and more help than what we've had, you know. I read a stat the other day that I think it's one out of every four bars and restaurants in Indianapolis is closing right now.
Jesus. That's
going,
crazy.
Going in the wrong direction as we speak. So I actually took a new job back last March. This is crazy. I left the beer world and went to the spirits world and was the director of sales all on premise. So my focus was venues, bars, and restaurants.
Yeah.
My first week of work was the first week of March. So
that wow.
They kept me until June, and then I'm like, man, we can't justify this anymore.
I know, dude, and it's what's so crazy. You know, I live just outside Chicago. I live about 8 miles away, and restaurants are hurting big time. One of the coolest things that I saw happen, though, there's a restaurant in my town. So I live in Oak Park, and there's a place out here called Fitzgerald's, and they're just known. They've always been known for really good music and just like a cool place to hang out. They don't serve food, so it's more just like a out. And in fact, they use their patio, like they have an outdoor patio. So when COVID really kicked in, Fitzgerald's has this move. It's a mobile band. They're calling it. It's basically a truck that's been with a flatbed, and they carry a band around town. So all you gotta do, you send them an email. You tell them where you live, what block you live on. If enough people join you, they come and they hang out on your block. They play like two or three songs, and then they take like a donation. You know, so it's totally free. But they're bringing music. They're keeping themselves alive. It's just very unique. And places are doing stuff like this. I thought that was a really great turn.
Yeah, you have to think outside the box if you're in your industry or the music industry. You know, do whatever you can. It's challenging times. Like one of my favorite spots in Indy, the Mousetrap, cool little dive bar, good food, but it's a music venue, and obviously they can't do indoor live music. But when the weather was nicer, they did some social distancing outdoor shows and stuff. But can't really pull that off in January in Indianapolis, you know. So all those places just need support by carry out and, you know, whatever, curbside, whatever you can do to help any of those restaurants, bars out. Do whatever you can to help those little independent guys out.
That's what's going to take. I think we have to think about our money and think about not ordering from the huge chain places and keeping it local. Like, keep the moms and pops going. They employ some great people too, and people that really rely on these paychecks. One of the cool things that I'm actually involved in this, I'm a member of this Facebook group out here in Oak Park. It's called Oak Park 25. And it's, how can you spend $25 at one of these places and buy like dinner for you and your family? And everyone posts about it. And I swear, man, we're only getting local food when we order out. And a lot of these places that wouldn't have made it are actually sustaining themselves now because of a group like this. So I think if more people did that and like they looked closer and spent their money locally, I think it would just be a lot better for everybody.
100%. The chains aren't going anywhere. They got all the backup they need, you know.
For sure.
Some little guys. As far as, like, there was something really cool that came about, I don't know, when this first all got started. It's called the National Independent Venue Alliance, and then they do it locally. So there's like the Indy Independent Venue Alliance, and you can donate to them. It's like, I mean, these venues, like, for instance, the Vogue Theater in Broad Ripple in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Got bought by some people I know probably 8 months before this all happened. They spent a dime or two on a really cool vintage venue, and now they're just, you know, there's nothing they can do there. They don't serve food, you know, they're really doing nothing and just kind of sitting on it. So if anybody wants to support anything like that, you can go on this NIVA, National Independent Venue Alliance, for all across the country, and they spread it, they try to spread it evenly, the funds and everything, and they'll do some live streams and stuff like that, and you can donate. So kind of a cool gig.
Yeah, man, speaking of the Vogue, I mean, God, probably one of my very favorite places to go see a band. We saw the Y Store there a couple times back at school. What a cool vintage place. I know it's a shitty time to own that spot, but once this is over, or once we get past this hurdle, that's going to be a great investment. So happy for your friends. I wish business was better for them now, but that's such a cool place.
It is, man. And speaking of the Y Store, I do see Chris, the lead singer, it's Chris Schaefer. See him out and about every once in a while and say hi to him. And I guess not recently, but he'll do some solo shows. And they actually, the Weister, got back together and recorded a live album probably about a little over a year ago at the Slippery Noodle.
Yep.
And was at that and brought back some old memories with bunch of friends, including yourself, you know. So good times,
dude. It's funny because Chris Schaefer, I love the dude's voice, man. Such a remarkable voice. I know that the band's been through a lot. The band's looks a little bit different now than it did when we probably saw them back in the 90s. I actually swear to God, I sent him a message on Instagram a couple weeks ago asking, does he want to come on the show? So next time you bump into him, you let him know I'm out here. I'm not gonna bother him, but it'd be great to talk to him and get him to play a tune for us, man.
Man, some of my buddies back there, a couple of them are musicians, and a couple are in the booze industry as well. They're super tight with him. I could probably help you out, make that happen.
Yeah, him or any one of your friends that wants to come on, talk music, talk whatever, play some songs. I think that'd be fun thing. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, no worries, man. It's great to be on here. Great to hear your voice.
Dude, it's great talking to you. Let's definitely keep in touch. I know we text about every day over our little 14-person fuck around that we – or whatever you want to call it. But
about 500 texts every day.
Yeah, that's why I have mine on mute for sure. Anyone that doesn't have that text thing on mute is definitely getting yelled at by somebody.
Yeah, I see 48 missed texts. I'm like, yeah, I can't go back through all those.
Hell no. All right, man. Well, hey, listen, thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you, Bowers. I really hope that you're feeling good, and hopefully this thing comes back negative. But
I appreciate it, brother. Good to hear your voice, man.
All right, man. Take care. So next up, we had our really great friend, Chad Russell from Colorado. He called in, and we started with a quick conversation about restaurants in Colorado and Chicago and how they've been impacted by COVID. Take a listen.
Restaurants in Aspen, they decided they went to Code Red. Now, here's an interesting thing, is there are testing centers now probably by 3x, three times as many testing centers now. And the incidence of infection has reached critical areas, but they didn't move a metric based on how many people are getting tested. But I'm not saying that's the only thing, but they decided to, that hotels are at full capacity, the Mountain is at full capacity, stores can be at full capacity, can be, I think, at of some like restricted capacity for stores or something. But of course, restaurants have been forced into operating since the winter season at 25% capacity. And as you know, I mean, that's like, unless you're turning tables like crazy, you know, you're not, there's no way you can recoup any really from a money aspect. But anyway, the Board of Health for Pitkin County decided to shut down the restaurants and on Sunday, like no more indoor dining at all.
Yeah.
In a resort town. And then, and some of the guys are standing up to it. So it's one of those things, it's like where the infections are coming from. It's probably not eating out, you know, maybe late at night. But I mean, either way, if you're scared of that, I don't think I don't know. I don't want to get to the politically charged aspect of it, but like, what are your thoughts on the whole thing with the restaurants and them taking the brunt of the economic impact here?
I don't really get that. I don't understand why the restaurants were targeted the way they are. I can understand like a fully packed bar or a restaurant with a bar where people are waiting 3-4 deep in line for drinks and there's just no chance of social distancing. But I mean,
like spring break situation.
Yeah, but I mean, like a restaurant. As long as you're, I mean, if the tables are adequate room apart from each other, and if you're wearing a mask whenever you encounter the server, if someone comes by and says hi or takes your order, you know, put your mask back on for 30 seconds. I don't get it. Because, I mean, restaurants, you know, I've worked in them for about 20 years now. I mean, they're basically clean establishments to begin with. I mean, from the back of the house to the front of the house, if you go to a reputable restaurant, I guarantee that there's a chef in the kitchen that's absolutely crazy about people washing hands and staying clean and staying sanitary, at least the place I've worked at. So, and yeah. Now you're on higher alert. So now you've got a place that's always been pretty clean anyway, and now it's even cleaner. So I just don't fucking get the fact that why are restaurants, you know, taking the hit right now? I don't understand. And a lot of them are going to close and they're not going to come back. And we're going to lose a lot of good people.
Some of the greatest establishments in the world, like New York City, I can't remember the names of all of them, but it's just, you see the things fall, like big casualties of it. And places like this won't come back.
Right.
And they just won't.
And you think about like,
it's like the broken ownership. It's like, it's hard. That's gotta be so bad.
Cause you think about the people that are working there. I mean, you know, they're not making a ton of money to begin with. I mean, this money is very, very important to them. They, you know, they put food on the table for their families with this. And like, listen, like, don't get it wrong. I am all for wearing masks. And, at least over here, you know, we're outside of Chicago. We're very, very careful, you know, so we're sanitizing ourselves. We will even wipe down our groceries when we come home from the store just to be safe. But I think you can do both. I think you can be careful and I think you can coexist with restaurants too. I just really just don't get it. I, you know, both my niece and my nephew, and they're young, they're both freshman and junior in college, but they both, you know, contracted it. They're both fine. Like this was, you know, this was back in the day, or a few months back. Exactly happened. It happened the way that you just said, is that they're, you know, the schools are closed. So these kids are, they're on campus, but they're doing remote learning from their dorms.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Yeah. So they're,
yeah,
pain to be there. My nephew's here at Loyola. My niece is in Wisconsin. But the way they got it was just going to these house parties. You know, everything else is closed down. So they're hanging out in really close quarters. And, you know, these are kids too. So they're, you know, they're probably a little bit. Yeah,
dirty,
they're not as careful. Now, we don't really know how Harris got it.
Yeah, with like 19 to 22-year-old like males, like about their hygiene is just next level. It's ridiculous. Like, they don't have mothers. It's like the generation that was forgotten.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Like, I just know that, I mean, I'm surprised where half the places I lived in college weren't condemned.
Well, you know, maybe today they would be. You know, those were back in the 90s we're talking, so a lot of shit wouldn't probably fly today. I mean, I just think that back in the, I mean, when we were in school, nobody had cell phones, man. Like, no one was texting, no one was calling. I mean, it's a completely different world now. If you're in school, if you're on campus, if you're away from home for the first time, you have all this shit plus cell phone. I mean, like, it's absolutely nuts to think about.
And then you go to college and like you're like, say you're from Indiana, you move to Colorado, now you can just go buy weed.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, can you imagine?
Are you now, have you always been into skiing and like the outdoor sports like this?
Well, I mean, I've always had a calling from Colorado. I don't know why or what. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't get out here probably until when I was like 18, 19 for the first time, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've always been into boarding this, boarding that. And when I discovered snowboarding, I think it was probably 27, 26. It was like, this is my thing. And then I was living in Arizona. And yeah, you can go to a good resort there. But then it's like, when I end up moving to Aspen, it's really the perfect place.
Yeah.
For everything. I mean, for, you know, if you can live, work, and play all in a 1 square mile thing.
Yeah,
your existence is amazing, and you have skiing, and then the summers are super fun too.
Yeah, well, it really feels, it seems like it suits you pretty well, Colorado.
Yeah, you know, thanks. It's weird. It's a weird place. I mean, you know, there's some interesting like albatrosses up here though. There's high incidences of suicide actually. It's because you get up here and. It's just an interest. That could be a whole podcast there talking about that. But you
know, yeah,
there's a high incidence of suicide up there.
Wow.
There's heavy drinking. They say it's a drinking town with a skiing problem.
Yeah.
And that's like most mountain towns.
And yeah.
So that's like a bad combo when you get a lot of drinking and oftentimes other substance abuse.
Yeah.
And then those can take you down some dark rabbit holes and, you know, to see what that happens when you see like you barely getting by and other people living in just pure excess of like, you know, going to Prada and dropping 30 grand. You know, it's like, who does that?
Yeah. Not me. That's for sure.
Hey, Ron, thanks for having me stop by for a few.
Awesome.
Nice to chat with you.
Always great chatting with you, and good luck to you. We forgot to mention it, but good luck to you and Mary and the upcoming child, which is due when?
Due 1/31. There's a procedure on Monday to flip that sucker because he's breech.
Okay.
And that could induce labor. And
yep.
Then there's like, you know, I'm within now. Like now, like she could have baby like right now or in like in 10 days. So.
And do
I
we?
Mean, you know.
Do we know the sex of the child?
It's a male. It's another young prince.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, I always wish I had like a brother that close. I always thought that'd be like an amazing dynamic. So,
yeah,
that's fun. Yeah, that's fun.
A masculine child. As you say in The Godfather.
I want a daughter, though. I kind of want a daughter, so, you know, we might have to throw her right back in.
Well.
Into the mix, you know.
We,
no spring chicken.
We were happy with whatever was going to come our way. We ended up having two boys, and now we have a female dog. So we have our daughter. And she's probably just as expensive as the boys.
Nice.
All right, brother. You guys have a great weekend. Good luck with everything. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, Ron. Thanks for everybody.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. So that's it. That's our podcast for this week. We really hope that Brian, the hitman, feels better. Hey, there's my son, Eddie, in the background. There he is, making his second or third appearance here on the show. Hey, thanks a lot. That's what we got for you guys. You guys stay safe. Stay away from that COVID, and we will see you next time. Later.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.